Hello and welcome to the Old Time Country Church broadcast. This is Pastor Dave Jones. I am pastor of the Faith Independent Baptist Church in the community of Hebron, Kentucky. Another broadcast day, another day you're on board with us, I suppose, and thank you for listening today. Thank you for being a long-time listener. If you are our first-time listener, we're grateful that you tuned us in today. And I hope you get some good things out of the broadcast today, out of the scriptures we look at together. But first of all, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord Jesus, for the mercy that's been extended us today, that we can come on the radio broadcast, that, Lord, we can give glory to you and preach the Word of God. It just doesn't get any better than that. Lord, I pray for our listeners today. We never know where the broadcast is going. We never know what the needs are of the people. But, Father, I pray that you'd help us today to understand the will of God. I pray you'd take the Word of God and bring it to every heart that needs it. I pray, God, for the lost. I pray, Father, for the sick and the shut-ins. God, whoever needs some help today, I pray the Word of God would minister to them through this broadcast. We'll give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a look this morning at some scripture that we oftentimes don't often think of, and this is Psalms chapter 34, a wonderful, wonderful psalm that David wrote right after he had this run-in with Abimelech. And David, of course, was the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he took a lot of things out of the psalms and made songs out of them. And he and Asaph wrote a lot of music, a lot of different things you find in the Bible, the beautiful psalms. And that's why I love them. Probably one of the most famous psalms is Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And most everybody can quote that from memory. You hear that a lot at funerals and things like that. But I'm going to look at chapter 34 today of the book of Psalms. And the Lord has a wonderful teaching here for us. And I think it's needed in the face of the fact that most everything you and I hear on the radio and television is negative news, and they're awful, and things are going to happen bad to us, and yeah, everything's bad for you. Now, I heard the other day that peanut butter is bad for you. Are you crazy? That's the end of the world, man. I'll tell you, peanut butter is bad for you. But everything is bad. You can't eat this, you can't breathe that, can't go here, and that kind of thing. So, but in Psalms chapter 34, David said, I will bless the Lord at all in my praise, and my praise shall continue to be in my mouth. He said, I want to praise God every day, and I want his praise to be in my mouth every day. You say, how is that possible? Well, stop and think about it. You can sing some of the hymns. You sing the lines out of the old hymns. That's praising God. I go through the day sometime, my wife does too, just singing, singing some of the old hymns. You may not remember all of them. It's kind of a joke around our church because if I forget the words, I'll make them up as we go through it. And I hope the folks that wrote them when we get to heaven will be merciful to me. But understand that he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times. And he says, his praise shall be continually in my mouth. And so the Lord talks about the fact that we can praise him every day. And believe me, folks, you and I have a lot to praise the Lord for about. We're going to praise him through eternity and never get it all done for what he's done for us. And God has been good to us. And so in verse 2, the psalmist said, My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. There's not many things in the world that you and I listen to that make us glad. And most of the time it makes us sad, makes us disturbed, makes us angry sometimes. But he said, I'm going to think about the Lord. When I bless his name, he says, it's going to make me glad. Now, what about that? When you and I get to counting our blessings, and that's what we should do. One of the greatest inventions in modern technology is the call waiting. You know why? Because I can look at that number and say, I ain't going to pick that up. All they want to do is complain and gripe and try to get me to feel sorry for them. Now, if it's somebody hurting, that kind of thing, of course I'm going to pick it up and talk to them. But there are certain people that every day is some new tragedy in their life. It's some new drama, and it goes on and on and on until you just want to rip the phone out of the wall and throw it out in the street somewhere. But you and I get to pray, talking about our blessings and thanking God. Guess what happens? We get glad. It makes us happy to think about that. We have a large family. Our family is blessed with 6 children, and we have 18 grandchildren, and I think 5 great-grandchildren right now. I don't know. I lost count a long time ago. But when we all get together, it's a fun time. We sing and play music and laugh and have a big time, and we're glad to get together. I look at that whole room full of people, and I thought, you know, I'm glad. Thank the Lord, has been so good to me and blessed with a large family. So he said down here in verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And I'll tell you what, brother, you and I, there's a name that's above every name that is worthy of exaltation. And that name is not Dave Jones, it's not the Pope, it's not the Imam, it's not a basketball star, a baseball star, a movie star, it's Jesus Christ. And his name is worthy of being lifted up and praised every day. And there's coming a day, the Bible said, thank God, whenever every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. Man, I'm glad I'm going to be there. I'm glad I'll be able to see that. That Bible said over there in Revelation chapter 5, and it sung a new song, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb of God, and thou hast redeemed us by thy blood at every kindred tongue and people and nation." I like that, brother. I'll tell you something, we're going to be there. You talk about glad. You say, "Brother Dave, I don't like loud services. Don't go to heaven, please. I'm begging you. Go to purgatory or some other fictitious place." But you ain't going to go to heaven and be happy if it's because it's going to be loud. It's shouting and praising God all day long. And so the scripture said this. Now, he said in verse 4, he said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, think about that in just a minute. The Bible said here that he said, I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from all my fears. Now, he didn't say he's going to deliver me from all the bad stuff that happened to me. That comes later. But God is so good, he delivered us from all our fears. You say, "Brother Dave, I don't have any fears." Well, please don't lie today. Don't lie today, because all of us have fears. Job said when his children were killed, he said, "The thing that is that I've feared the most has come upon me." How many times you as parents and I as a parent have thought, what would I do if one of my children died? What would I do if one of my children were killed in a wreck or in war or something like that? And so the Bible said here, then he said, "Deliver me from all my fears." All of my fears, the Bible said. And at night, those fears come up. Those fears come in, and they say, "Well, you know what? We go down there and we say we love the Lord, but yet all these awful things are happening to us, and all these horrible things are happening to us, and things like that. And Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know why that is. I don't know why that goes on so much. But I'm telling you right now, the Bible said over here, he delivers from our fears at night. Thank God, when we lay down in our bed at night, and the Bible said down here, we're in God's hands, and he gives us sweet peace and sweet rest. And so he said this." He said, I may deliver him all my fears. And then he talks about him in verse 5. They looked upon unto him. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. How many things happen to us that makes our faces brighten up? I tell you, being with the Lord does, and talking to the Lord does. And I'm telling you right now, the Bible said here that he talked about the thing. He said they came down through there, and he said they looked at him. And the Bible said their faces were lightened and their hearts were lifted up. And when you think about Jesus and what he done for us, it'll brighten you up, brother. It'll sure brighten you up. So in verse 6 said, this poor man cried. I'm glad God put that in there. He said, this poor man cried. I can get in on that. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. You know what? When God saved our soul, he saves us out of a whole lot of troubles. You know that? Sin brings a lot of troubles. Now that you're saved, there's a different set of troubles. Obviously, the world's against you, the devil's against you. But God said he saved him out of all his troubles. He said, the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. David said one day, he said, you know what? Where am I going to go to get away from the Lord? He's above me. He's beneath me. He's around me. He encamps about me every day. And we don't want to get away from the Lord. But the Bible said he's with us every step of the day. Now, have you ever done this? Have you ever prayed? And you ever come around and said, you know what? I don't know what happened to me, but I don't feel like I'm saved anymore. I don't feel like God is with me anymore. I don't feel like that there's anybody that loves me anymore. Well, if you go to the scriptures, You're going to find out that the Bible said here that he loves us and he's with us every step of the way. Every step of the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And I'm telling you, don't ever get feeling sorry for yourself and say, well, God doesn't love me anymore. He's not with me anymore. The Bible said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so he goes on down here in verse 8. He said, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Think about this. When you were a baby, and I was a baby, and my mother was seven, I was small, they started feeding me off the table, and they gave me a little bit of gravy one morning, and I took just a little taste of that, and I lit up like a light bulb, and I loved it ever since. And at first, that baby gets a taste of something he really likes, then you want a whole spoonful of it. That's kind of the way the Lord is. You get a good taste of him, just a little bit, and you say, I want some more. I want some more of the Lord. He's good. He's sweet, thank God. He'll help me. He'll strengthen me. And so he talked about in verse 8, oh, trust and oh, taste and see if the Lord is good. And then he said in verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Again, the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, beginning of wisdom and of knowledge. And you think about this, the Lord goes talks out through there. He said, if you want wisdom and knowledge, he said, fear the Lord. The Bible talks about this generation, this world, said there's no fear of God in their eyes. And I can tell you that's true. Had some guy pass another down the freeway, some little kid in a little old putt-putt car, probably had a rubber band in it. It sounded loud, but it wasn't fast. And he had a sign on the back of his car that said, no fear. And I thought, oh, buddy, you need to go to the Army, the Marine Corps for a while. That drill started to put fear in you from day one. The morning I was in, the first time I was in boot camp, in the Repel Depot getting ready to go to boot camp, they came in at 4 o'clock in the morning beating on garbage cans with a ball bat and turning bunks over and screaming and hollering, cussing and everything, every word you ever heard in your life. I thought, man, I don't know if I've made a good choice here or not. But it was good for me. I was just a punk kid, needed a lot of straightening up. And the military did that, and I thank God for my time in the military. But we got a generation that doesn't fear God. You say, how do you know that? Because they curse God. They make fun of God. They lie. They make fun of the Bible. Make fun of the church. And it doesn't bother them at all. And they trash anybody that does. I thought it was interesting the other day that there was a bunch of numbskulls in Washington that thought it was wrong for the vice president's wife to teach in a Christian school that took a stand against gay marriage. She has every right to do that. And for two reasons. Number one, she's still an American. Number two, she's a Christian. And she has every right to do that. And they didn't back down. Good for them. They ought not to back down. And so the world can't tell you what you can believe, what you can't believe. And they're trying to get you out of the institution so they can teach their filthy doctrine. But I'm telling you, the Bible talked about over here, he said in verse 10, he said, young men do lack, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I love that verse. They that seek the Lord will not fear any good thing. And I'm telling you right now, the Bible talks about the good things that God gives us. Every perfect and good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. It comes from heaven. And I ask you now that you just give God thanks and glory for it. Because if you got something good from God, you need to give him praise for it. I look around. The Bible said children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. And he said they're put in the hands of a good man. He shoots them out like arrows. They're like arrows that you shoot out in the world to help the folks when you want you to train them. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from him. The Lord goes on, and David's just getting started here. He said, what man is it? Verse 12, that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good. Well, everybody wants that. Everybody, you know, I'm ready to go to heaven. The Lord comes today. I'm ready either through the rapture or death. I'm ready either way. But all of us like to see our children grown up. We love to see the fruits of our labor and that kind of thing. But that's up to God. That's not up to us. So he goes on and he said down here, and in verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking no guile. Wow. You think about this just a minute. You think about the fact that we sometimes categorize sin. We sometimes say, well, you know what, we know that sin is bad and that sin is always the adultery, fornication, getting drunk, taking dope, that kind of stuff. It goes on and on. But why don't we ever put into that thing the lips and the tongue and the sinning with the mouth? James devotes an entire chapter to it in James chapter 3 about the mouth. You look it up in the Bible. There's a lot of things in the Bible about our tongue, our mouth, our lips, our voice. And the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so you understand that whatever's in the heart is going to come out the mouth. And there are some people, brother, they got to go every day and they got to tongue lash somebody. They got to carry gossip and tale-bearing. And I suppose I preach on that sometimes, several times a year in our church, because we need it just like every other church needs it. Because that tongue gets going, that tongue gets wagging. And now with social media, you can spread all kinds of garbage on there about somebody, and it just gets out of hand after a while. And you think about the fact that the Lord said he gave us a set of teeth to clamp down that tongue every now and then. James said it's full of deadly poison. With the tongue, he said you can bless God or you can curse God. He said it's like a fountain giving water, bitter water and sweet. He said this thing ought not to be. And we need to guard our mouths, folks, and you'll guard our tongue. And I realize we get mad sometimes, say stuff we shouldn't say. But I'm just telling you that the Bible said that's sinful too. And he said, don't let your mouth speak evil. Don't let your mouth speak guile. Don't be a talebearer and a busybody. I don't know about you. I guess everybody's got the same shape. I don't know. I don't know about you. I don't have time to try to run down everybody's business and find out about it. I got enough of my hands to keep Dave Jones where he's supposed to be and do the things that God has put in my hand to do. I don't have time to come and nose around your business. I'm not the sin police. I don't come to your house and find out what you're doing. I'll just preach the Word of God every Sunday just like it is for all of us and me included. So he said down here in verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil. Notice that came out in verse 13, something negative. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good and seek the peace and pursue it. So he said, this was a real simple thing. He said, get away from evil. Depart from evil. What does that mean? That means sometimes we got to change friends. You know what I'm talking about? Some of your friends, and some of my used to be friends, are not good influences for us. And they all the time want to run somebody down or tell us a story or get us involved in something. And he said, just turn your back on evil and pursue good. Now, what does pursue mean? It just means you got to run after it. It's elusive. Peace is elusive. You got to go after it. You got to maintain it. You got to want it real bad. And the older I get, the more I want peace. I'm not all that confrontational to begin with. You think I might be, but I'm not. If there's an answer to fix it for everybody, and it's in the Bible, I like to do that first. But some people don't want a Bible answer. Some people come and talk to you as a minister. They want you to side with them, and they want you to be on their side against whoever it is they're against. And when I won't do that, then they got all bent out of shape, and their hair stands on end, and they stomp out, slam the door, and that kind of stuff, which is fine, big deal. I'll take a half a baby aspirin and try to worry about it sometime tonight. But in verse 15, he said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. God watches us over us every day. He watches us every day. His eye is watching us. He's taking care of us. And his ear is open to our cry. Peter, when he's out on the water, only had a quick prayer he could say before he drowned. He said, Lord, save me. That got the job done. Thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me and now come into thy kingdom. And that got the job done. I'm telling you, the old publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. But I'm telling you right now, the Lord says that he said that evil that sometimes comes upon us, he said, get away from that. And he said, pursue after that which is peace. Then he said, be sure that the Lord's eyes are upon you, and his ear is open to hear your prayer. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. There's a warning for the United States of America here, too, along with individuals. That is, if our country keeps turning away from God and keeps going down the path we're going, God has not promised to be with us. We were established as a Christian nation. But you understand that God has no qualms about putting his hand against us when we turn against him. And he did that to Israel many, many times. What makes you think we're any special, special bunch of people like that in the country? The Bible said here that he said that the righteous crying, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Oh, thank God. David knew about that, didn't he? David was in a lot of trouble sometimes. David was in a bunch of troubles, and God delivered him out of his troubles. Some of them left marks on him and that kind of thing that never went away, and it affected his family. But David cried out many, many times in his troubles. He said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. I love this verse. Because if you and I are ever going to get right with God, it's not going to come from a bunch of hollering. It's not going to come from a bunch of self-gratifying things we do. It's going to come from us getting on our faces and crying out, oh, God, I'm unworthy. God, help me. I've failed, and I need your power. I need you to help me, and I'll do whatever you ask me to do. That's contrition. And when we cry out to God, the Bible said over there that the Lord loveth a contrite heart, a contrite spirit, and a broken heart. And sometimes we need our hearts broken for our sin and for what we do. We need our hearts broken, and we understand that you go down through here, and the Bible talks a lot about that broken heart or that proud spirit. He contrasts them too. And a lot of folks got a proud spirit. They're not going to come to the altar and pray. They're not going to get on their knees. Why, what would people think of me? What do you care what they think of you? What does God know about you? That's the important thing. What do you care what they think you know? If God knows something's going on, we better find an altar someplace. We better get in our closet somewhere and get on our face and say, God, you know. And I need some help today. I need you to break my heart for the lost souls. We get so stinking hard-hearted, don't we? Man, we get so hard-hearted. We get so mean-spirited, and we don't care if folks go to hell or not. I had a situation like that recently, and I thought the person was sincere about wanting to see souls saved, but apparently not. And that heart gets hard, and people want their own way, and things like that. So the Lord talks about, he said, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of all. You think about the Lord just delivering. There's several places we've already read today where the Lord said he delivered. And that's exactly what he said. He said he delivered them out of all. And he said in verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You trust in God today. If you're not saved, I pray you'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you in your place. He died in your place so he could take you to heaven when you die, forgive your sins. But if you're saved, if you come and say, God, I want to be fruitful. I want you to touch me, and I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. I want to get souls saved. I want to help churches. And God will give you the desire of your heart. Well, our time's gone. It goes by so quick today. I hope that Psalms 34 has been a blessing to you. Until the next time, may God bless you, neighbor.